My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
As you recall, the book of Romans is about salvation through God's gospel. Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power to save those who are lost. And thus he presents the case. The gospel is God's power to save. Chapter 1, the Gentiles need that salvation. The Gentiles are condemned under sin because they're immoral and idolatrous lives. We then turn to chapter 2, and the Jews are standing in the background applauding Paul for condemning the Gentiles. And he says, oh yeah, you Jews, you're also under sin because of your hypocritical actions and your ungodly lifestyles as well. Then we turn to chapter 3, and kind of a summary, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there is hope through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. And thus Romans chapter 4 discusses what a saving type of faith is really like. And so let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. As we think about the message, I think there are several things that are very important in Romans chapter 4 for us to understand Paul's argument. This chapter can be tricky if we're not careful and if we don't catch the overall idea that Paul is trying to get across. What is a saving type of faith like? I believe to understand this chapter, there are three things we've got to understand. Number one, the role of Abraham in Paul's argument. Abraham is pivotal to Romans chapter 4. He's at the center and theme of this text. What's the big idea about Abraham? Why bring Abraham up in the middle of this argument? So we're going to talk about Abraham. Then we see a second important thing is to understand the type of works Paul is discussing. I believe throughout the centuries, this has been one of the problems that people have had with the book of Romans. What kind of works is Paul talking about? Is he talking about conditional works? There's nothing at all I can do in my salvation? Or is it meritorious works, things that earn my salvation? We're going to talk about that as Paul discusses it in Romans chapter 4. And then we need to understand the nature of a saving type of faith. And I believe this is why the illustration of Abraham and David is used, because these men are exemplary in their saving type of faith. And so let's begin by thinking about Abraham. To understand Abraham's role in this argument, we have to understand Abraham's role in the Jewish religion. We begin all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. Open your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 12, and I want you to look in verse 3. As Abraham's role related to the Jewish religion, it was first and foremost related to that great promise that every Jew put his hope in. Genesis chapter 12 was the promise that even the Jews of Jesus' day were still discussing and looking for. Genesis chapter 12, I especially want you to look in verses 2 and 3. God said to Abraham in verse 1, come out of your country, from your family, your father's house, the land I'll show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now notice verse 3 especially. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in your seed, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is repeated in Genesis 22:18 as well to his son Isaac. And so the promise to Abraham was pivotal. In your seed, all families or all nations are going to be blessed. Then we look in Genesis chapter 17 and we learn that Abraham was given the sign of circumcision. The Jews thought a lot of this. This was their ceremonial act, and they had oftentimes put their hope in their circumcision. But Paul is going to show that Abraham was justified when? Before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? And so we're going to think about that for just a moment. I believe the key text to understand Romans chapter 4 is Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 and in Galatians chapter 3. It's quoted about three or four times in our New Testament. Let's turn over to Genesis 15 and see the context of this quote. I believe we can understand the way in which it was used originally. We can understand how Paul is using it in his argument. Look in Genesis chapter 15. The context again is on the heels of the promise made to Abraham, God is reassuring Abraham of this promise and of his covenant. Chapter 15, let's begin in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. So he had in mind this promise, in your seed, all nations can be blessed. And Abraham said, wait a minute, God, I don't have any children yet. What are you going to do about this problem? Now notice verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now notice the context. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat. Goes on to tell us that God tells him to bring this, and God sends down fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. The point is, in the context of God's original promise, Abraham was kind of wondering about how God was going to fulfill it, and God said, look up in heaven. Can't you see the stars that show my power, my ability? He said, just like you can't number those, so are your seeds going to be innumerable. And he says, think about it. I took you out of the land of Ur, didn't I? I took care of you when you didn't have anything. And then he does this great miracle to confirm that he is God and that he will be faithful to his promise. And so the context of, and God counted it to him for righteousness. He believed God. Abraham put his trust in God based on the evidence he'd seen of God and because God had always been faithful to him. I think as Romans 1 and Romans 16 teaches us, faith is always obedient trust. Now, here's one of the things that the Jews overlook. To understand Abraham's role, we must also understand that Abraham was to be a father of many families, or as Paul uses the Greek word in Romans 4, many nations. Now, this is where the Jew completely missed it. They thought that Abraham was going to bless them and them only. And all the way back to Genesis 12, Abraham was going to be a father of many nations. Not one, not just the Hebrew nation, but of many nations. And so this is pivotal to Paul's argument. Let's begin then in Romans chapter 4 and notice how salvation is based on both faith and works. Is salvation by works? Well, it depends on what kind of works we're talking about. We're not talking about works that merit one's salvation. Look in verse 2. He says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now notice verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages, the paycheck are not counted as grace, but as debt. It's what you deserve if you work. But he says, not before God. He doesn't deserve anything. What's the point? Abraham did not do one thing that merited or earned his salvation. Now, the principle for us is the kind of faith that saves is not a faith that says, God, I've done what you told me to do. You owe me salvation. Let me illustrate. Say, for example, that you come to services on Sunday and you partake the Lord's Supper and you say, I've done what I should. God owes me heaven. Or the collection plate comes around and you give as you've been prospered. Or you go out and evangelize the world. Or you do all the things you're told to do. Can you then look up to heaven and say, God, you owe me salvation? Think about a passage like Luke 17:10. And you, when you've done all those things commanded, you say what? I'm an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which was my duty to do. And so I can't merit or earn. Abraham couldn't do it. I can't do it. The kind of faith that he's talking about and works he's talking about are not ones that say, God, I've done what you said, so give me salvation. But it's the kind that meets God's conditions. Let me illustrate for you. Open your Bible to James chapter 2. To understand that there are different types of faith, Romans 4 says that works cannot save us. But look in James chapter 2. Open your Bible with me to James chapter 2. And I want you to look in verse 24. Part of the justification of man is related to conditional works. James chapter 2, verse 24. And it's interesting. Verse 23, he quotes the exact passage from Romans 4. And the scripture which was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now notice, on the heels of that, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Wait, Paul just said in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, not by works. Evidently, there are different kind of works. And Paul is talking to the Jews in Romans 4 who think that if they do enough righteous acts and if they keep the commandments found in the law and if they wash their hands up to the elbow and they do these certain things, then they're going to earn their salvation. Paul says, no, those works won't earn you anything. But James says there are certain conditions that you and I must meet. Were there any conditions that Abraham met? Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 26. Do you know why Abraham was called the friend of God and why he was considered righteous? Look at a great text that is often overlooked in Genesis chapter 26. I think this illustrates the kind of faith that Abraham had. Here God is talking to Isaac about his father Abraham and the great faith that he had. God says to Isaac, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your seed all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Did Abraham do certain conditional things that God set forth? Yeah, he obeyed his voice, kept his commandments, his charge, his statutes. Abraham listened when God spoke and obediently followed his will. But Abraham never said, God, now you owe me salvation.